Our next case this morning is Spain against the Wayne County Auditor's Office. You might as well sit down, Mr. Betts. We will wait. This is not a response, I assume, to your anticipated argument. I think it's quiet enough, Mr. Betts. Why don't you come up and we'll get to work.
And I thought this was all for an FMLA case.
Boy, you need a strong ego for something like that.
May it please the court, Your Honor.
You're leaving even before you started your argument, so it's not a response to it.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Kevin Betts, and I'm here representing the individual plaintiff, Carolyn Faye, in an FMLA and ADA case. The main issue in the case is whether the Wayne County Auditor's Office is a covered entity under the FMLA and ADA. That was the ruling by the district court was that the Auditor's Office was not a covered entity. The ruling was issued prior to Nevada v. Hibbs, the U.S. Supreme Court case in 2003 that held Congress had clearly abrogated the state's immunity under the 11th Amendment.
Can I just ask you sort of a bottom line question?
Sure.
Is it your position that state laws are relevant and the census of governments controls whenever an issue is raised?
Under the FMLA and ADA? I don't think it's irrelevant, but certainly even in Rollins, they acknowledged that Rollins is the Sixth Circuit case. That,
right. No, I know.
Acknowledge that federal law trumps state law, especially when interpreting coverage by federal law. In the district court opinion, we have the three cases that basically decided the sheriff's department liability under state tort law as opposed to the county being liable, which was really inapplicable for federal law coverage issues. We also have the state constitution in Indiana that said the auditor's office is an independent elected official. But that is of some pertinence, I think, when you look at this. But as to federal law coverage, the FMLA, an entitlement, not a civil right law, gives very clear guidance of what a public agency that should be covered under the FMLA is.
So do you think state law is initially relevant, as Rowland held, to determine whether a legitimate question exists on the issue, and only if a question exists should we turn to the census of governments?
As to the FMLA, I would say my position is, in this case, that you start with the FMLA analysis, that any public agency under 29 U.S.C. Section 2611 is an employer under the FMLA. It is very clear under the FMLA who is covered and who is not, and it's a very straightforward analysis, especially after Nevada v. Hibbs. Under the ADA, it is less clear, which is a civil rights law, although the analysis from the FMLA is certainly extremely pertinent and extremely applicable to going through the analysis. Obviously, anytime you're dealing with the organic document of the state constitution, that is very compelling, that says it's a separate entity, but it is certainly definitely not the end-all and be-all as far as coverage by a federal entitlement law as to which entities in the county government of Wayne should be covered under the FMLA and the ADA.
Yeah. Do you agree, would you agree that the facts in Rollins were clearer, including the paychecks, that came from different entities?
Yes. In Wayne County, the paychecks all came from Wayne County. And in Wayne County, we have the admission of the county auditor, who was the independently elected official, who said he flatly did not know anything about the FMLA. And that is nothing to detriment to him. He was relying under the...
Probably didn't know much about Section 363B of the Bankruptcy Code either.
And he would be in the same boat with me on that. But and what he was professing was not a lack of his fulfillment of his duties, but indeed the integration of the FMLA and who needs to know about that, of the Common Personnel Division, which is an integral part of the analysis of whether the entity is an integrated entity to be covered by the FMLA, and that's what we want county government to do, especially for FMLA and ADA laws. We likely don't want each elected auditor to learn the ADA, We want that elected official to defer to the county FMLA official with the personnel department.
No, if this a sheriff who is separately elected, obviously, is that in Indiana? Would that be separate?
As we know, the district court found that that was applicable in this case. I think that is different now because of Nevada v. Hibbs, and those decisions were state tort liability decisions, not federal court coverage issues. And
but the county, I don't know this. Does the county pay the sheriff's deputies?
I think so, yes.
Obviously, the county probably pays most people work in the county in some capacity. And I guess what you're saying is that for auditor, what is it, treasurer, clerk, they're all, I think they're all elected. And therefore, they would at least supposedly be separate. You're saying because of their interrelated functions that they're one unit.
For federal law, yes. Employment, entitlement, and civil rights coverage issues, but not as to their separate elected authority. Even the state legislature has recognized that even though the Constitution says the auditor is a separate elected official, that the auditor only has the authority and power to hire one chief deputy. As to hiring others, it must go to the county commissioners and say, Mother may I, and get permission for that. So there is, even in the state regime of the auditor's powers and authority, very limited authority and control, and operates within the county government regime. I will reserve the rest of my time for
certainly, counsel. Mr. Weirich.
May it please the court, my name is Andrew Weirich, and I represent the defendant appellee, Wayne County Auditor's Office. It is important to remember that in this case there's only been one defendant, Wayne County's Auditor's Office. At no time has plaintiff ever attempted to name as an additional defendant Wayne County, Indiana. When we look at the arguments which are made in an attempt to say that there is one integrated unit called Wayne County Government, two observations are apparent. One, there is no legal entity called Wayne County Government. And secondly,
move to dismiss under Rule 15 on the ground that they hadn't served the correct entity within the 120 days after filing the complaint? Or
no,
maybe
Your Honor.
You dismiss for failing to name the real party in interest?
No, Your Honor, because they did name the correct party. The employer was Wayne County Auditor's Office. The Wayne County Auditor's Office does exist as a suable entity, but what they're trying to do is merge the two, call it an amorphous Wayne County government.
People, governments are organized in a way that there are lots of parts and bureaus and divisions. If somebody sued the Bureau of Land Management, which is a chunk of the Department of Interior, it's got its own head. The head is confirmed by the Senate. It's got some independent authority. But if you wanted to figure out what that was, wouldn't you say, gee, it's part of the Department of the Interior?
Right. That's when you file the motion.
Isn't that pretty much the same here?
No. Absolutely not.
No,
because,
why not?
Well, we go back to the cases that are cited in the brief, why it's improper to name the county based upon the actions of an independent office. That office is suable in its own right. The only reason they're an improper defendant here is they didn't have enough employees. It's not a suable entity issue.
Well, given that her paychecks and W-2 statements were from Wayne County government, and she was referred to the Wayne County Government Human Resources Department, isn't there at least a question as to whether the auditor's office is an agency or part of an agency? And in that case, doesn't the regulation make it pretty clear that the census of government controls?
No, this goes back to the original point I was trying to make, that what plaintiff is really trying to do is attribute the employees of the auditor's office, as well as other employees, to a larger entity. They're trying to make it flow up. What they have to do, since they only named the auditor's office, is try to get things to flow back, try to say other either county employees, say the highway department would be a good example. There's no independently elected highway officer. If you're a highway department employee, it's clear your employer is the department, the county, I'm sorry.
But that's why I use the Bureau of Land Management. The head of the Bureau of Land Management is independently appointed. It's not appointed by the Secretary of the Interior, appointed by the President of the United States, confirmed by the Senate. There's no doctrine that if your head is independently appointed, you must be a different bureaucratic organization. At least there's no doctrine as a matter of federal law that that's true.
Yeah, that analysis might be different then based upon that.
But we're dealing with a federal statute. We're dealing with the meaning of employer in a federal statute. We're not
that's
dealing
true.
With the meaning of that word in an Indiana statute.
But I still think it is appropriate to look at Indiana law to determine whether or not an entity exists. Obviously, the Thane County Auditor's Office exists. Plaintiff admitted that. That's who they sued. They knew what they were doing, and they sued the employer. It's just there weren't enough employees to qualify under the two statutes they're proceeding under.
Are you arguing that the... Boy, forgive me if this is really simplistic, but are you arguing that the auditor's office isn't a separate entity from the Wayne County, Indiana government?
No, I'm saying it is a separate entity.
No, okay.
But I'm trying to illustrate why the arguments made by plaintiff don't address the right question.
No. Let me put my concerns in a somewhat different way. It seems to me that so far as the federal government is concerned, there's the state and maybe there's the local government. If you say the Wayne County Auditor's Office isn't part of the local government, then it must be part of the state government. And if it's part of the state government, well, by George, there are a lot more than 15 employees in the state government of Indiana. I don't see how it can
okay.
be neither state nor local.
It is a local entity. In terms of a level, it's at the local level. It operates at the county level. But you can't combine the Wayne County Auditor with other Wayne County government any more than you can combine the Wayne County Auditor with the Marin County Auditor. They're both at the county level, but they're independent. There isn't one county government that covers everything.
They just float out there? They're just out there, sort of floating?
In terms of organizational entity, yes. Is there some interaction?
Then
absolutely.
What does one do with the fact that the auditor can pick only his deputy?
I think those are some control issues that might be argument to support naming the county as the defendant, which is not the case here. I believe if the county was a defendant, summary judgment would be appropriate for them, but that's not what we're here for.
We will ultimately say that Wayne County Auditor is just a misnomer here for the county government. Then you would have a claim that there was either improper service or that the real party in interest had not been sued, but neither of those claims seems to have been made.
Again, I'm responding to arguments that haven't been made. They've never attempted to do that. But fundamentally, and we go through the analysis in terms of piercing the corporate veil, for example, if the employment decision was made by the county commissioners, That didn't happen here. Here, the control issues are all with the county auditor. The county auditor is the one who decides who I'm going to hire. The money flows from the county. There's somewhat of a misrepresentation to the extent that it's saying anyone other than a deputy has to get approved by the county commissioners and the county council. The auditor always makes the hiring decisions, who he's going to hire and how he's going to treat that employee, whether to terminate, whether to discipline.
Let me ask you about the Census of Governments regulation. Is there any doubt that that is a regulation promulgated under delegated power?
I'm not sure what you're asking when you say Census of Governments.
I'm asking you whether that's a valid and authorized regulation, or on your view, is it ultra vires?
We're not arguing it's ultra vires.
Okay, so it's a valid regulation. And normally courts say that regulations, valid regulations, have the same status as statutes. They're just rules that have to be applied.
At the same time, with regard to how the regulations, even if they are applied in this case, we believe they do not call for the pooling of these two entities, particularly to call the auditor's office the county. Moving on to the argument plaintiff makes in the reply brief that we should essentially look at piercing the corporate veil to go from the auditor's office to the county. Again, this would be an argument that might be more appropriate if the county was named as a defendant, but looking at the three categories named in PAPA, it's clear they have not been satisfied in this case. First, traditional conditions of piercing the corporate veil with regard to undercapitalization, use of improper activities. There's no evidence that traditionally would support such a piercing. The second element is splitting the entity to avoid liability under the discrimination law. There's no evidence that the Indiana Constitution or statutes were set up with any type of such intent. And finally, that the parent directs the discriminatory act. It's undisputed here that the auditor was the one who had full authority and exercised the authority to make the relevant employment decisions as it related to Ms. Fain. Based upon these and the other statements made in our brief, we believe
Let me ask you one more question about the potential misnomer problem here. Was the county itself notified within 120 days of the filing of the complaint? The Supreme Court says in Fortune against Schiavone that if you sue a division, when you mean to sue the corporation, Fortune is just a division of Time Inc. You sue Fortune, you mean you should have sued Time Inc. If Time Inc. actually got notice within 120 days, that would be okay. Do we know in this record whether the county got notice within 120 days?
I'm not sure how the service occurred. When the case was originally filed, other counsel handled it, and I believe I entered, I'm pretty sure it was after that 120 day period, so I'm not sure what communications occurred then.
You say other counsel, other, are you a county attorney?
No.
You're a private attorney?
Private attorney.
The auditor? As far as the FMLA, I just want to talk about a couple of the merits here. She received 12 weeks, right?
Yes.
And actually 3 more weeks than that.
Yes, and that was a purely voluntary act by the auditor. The contention by the plaintiff is somehow that then made it statutorily required. There's no evidence which would support that claim.
And under the ADA,
just trying to give her a break.
Under the ADA, there was no question she could only work part-time. Is that right?
The evidence is not clear on that. There was little communication to the auditor with regard to what she couldn't do during the relevant time period. The important point is that he told her she needed to come back to work. She didn't come back at all, part-time, full-time, at all. She didn't show up, and so then she was terminated. So regardless of whether it was part-time or full-time, you obviously have to show up at your job, and she didn't.
Anything further, Mr. Betts?
Just 2 brief points, Your Honor. She was more than willing to come back to work on a part-time basis pursuant to her psychiatrist's written directions on merely a 1 week interim basis to reintroduce her to the workplace. That was the basis for the denial. To answer Judge Mannion's question, follow up, I believe early on, neither myself nor Mr. Wyrick were involved. It was a pro se complaint filed pursuant to the ADA only, and in that, previous counsel admitted to coverage by the ADA in the previous complaint. When the complaint was amended and added FMLA, there was a denial of that. But early on, even the counsel for the county government, the auditor's office, admitted that ADA covered the auditor's office. I believe Mr. Wyrick is a municipal liability hired by the county government. And as to the county auditor can appoint only one chief deputy, but thereafter may only hire deputies and employees authorized by the county's fiscal body, that is in statute Indiana Code section 36-2-16-4. That's all I have, Your Honor, unless there are further questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Betts.
Thank you,
Mr.
Your Honor.
Wyrick. The case is taken under advisement.